Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
Excuse me, I did a tiny burp. Very rude. Beg my pardon. Judith, while the music plays, I'm doing something. And I'm going to see if you can guess what I'm doing.
You're putting a cardigan on.
No.
The exact opposite. It was a very good guess, Judith.
You took one off. Have you taken your cardigan off?
Do you know what I've done? While I'm simultaneously recording a podcast, yes. I have removed a thermal vest. I sniggled it off.
What do you mean? Like we used to do changing after netball so that girls couldn't see our boobs. Really?
I never minded about that. I used to
Didn't
flaunt.
You?
Do you know what? I find it sort of slightly prissy.
Very
prissy in communal changing rooms when girls turn their backs and sort of get all silly about showing their tits. Because none of us could give a shit, could we, really?
Oh, well, not anymore. Can't give a shit about very many things, no. But
sniggle out my vest, Judith.
I'm very impressed. Yeah, that's quite a manoeuvre. I've forgotten how to do it. Yeah.
It's like being a contortionist, really. I'm finding getting my body temperature in these cold and socially, economically bleak times tricky.
Well, yes. Have you got the heating on now? I mean, I presume you've given in, have you?
Well, I did put it on yesterday. I just thought if I'm working in my study, and my study's very small, I think it's 14 feet by 14 feet, something like that. And, oh, that sounds quite big now. It probably isn't that
well,
big.
Very
I don't know.
Specific, but
it's,
yes.
Anyway, it's big enough, but it's not huge. I could fit a sofa in if I took everything else out. Anyway, and I just thought, I can't just be cold in here. I've got to be warm in my study. So Jeff and I have decided we're allowed heating on in our studies.
Right. Well, can I make a suggestion, which is what we've done? I'm not saying it's perfect, but why don't you get one of those portable radiators? And I'm saying that, and I can see Jeff's face. I can actually see both of your face.
Of course you won't.
You live in a very stylish house, and they're quite ugly. But I've got one in the summer house, not altogether cosy. And I was working in there yesterday with my lagged boiler coat and my hat on. So I'm not selling it terribly well, am I? But I do think for the kind of medium cold days, it's quite a good idea. And you have to
just to take the edge off. Send me a photograph of that radiator? Because I can't really get a picture. When I think about portable radiators, I get three designs in my head.
Three?
Well, one is the electric bar fire that we had. Oh, my goodness. Who's this ringing me up this time?
Sarah.
I'm not answering that. It's not.
Who have you just sent away?
There's a new thing on my phone, Judith. Sometimes when you plug your phone in to do an update, suddenly it arrives back with
all tricks. Literally, in the last 2 days, my phone, I can't turn off the do not disturb because the little bastard... It did exactly what you said. It re-apped itself or something. You know, I pressed that. Okay, then, all right, proceed. Went off in a huff and did all sorts of ridiculous things for about half an hour. Come back. Don't recognise the screen settings at all. No. It's just spitefully. Ooh, we've got to be going now.
Is it still on do not disturb now?
Yes.
You have to keep an eye on it all the time.
Exactly.
It's not ring-a-ding-dinging?
No, it doesn't ring and it doesn't do that beep, 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 beep thing when I hear from, you and other people, actually.
Your special contact.
So now, it just fucking sits there and I have to keep pressing it and thinking, oh, it's a missed call. Oh, there's a WhatsApp. So in other words, it's made me worse. It now has to have my attention all the bleeding time.
Yeah. That's not right, Judith.
Have you tried...
Now, I'm going to say something rather annoying, but I'm going to say it out. Have you tried turning it on and off?
That's exactly... That's exactly what Sienna said. It's so bad that I passed it to Sienna, obviously, said, can you sort this out for me? She spent about 5 minutes. She said, no, I can't. I have to take it to the shop. That's how bad it is. And yes, I have tried turning it on and off again. Sometimes that does work and give it a bit of a shock, like who's in charge.
You might be able to ring somebody. You might be able to ring one of those techno guys on help bar
don't
at
Mac.
And I'm so. Or you could smash the phone up with a hammer.
Well, that is quite an attractive idea.
Are you due an upgrade? Because we're due upgrades.
Oh, well, interestingly, and by the way, we have to get back to radiators at some point because we've got that parked, haven't we?
Yeah.
Interestingly, I abandoned the contract thing. I'm the
did
only
you?
Person that I know that did. Oh, yes. I went off piece.
You pay as you go, like
yes,
a teenager.
Yes, I'm pay as you go. My cousin Christine, who knows everything about everything, has got, some sort of, because she said, I don't know why you're on a contract. I've just got a little SIM card and it's about £3 a week and, blah, blah, blah.
Maybe she doesn't do as many sort of mobile phone things as you do.
Perhaps she doesn't. But anyway, I did it about 2 years ago and I bought myself a reconditioned phone, which of course I own, and for about £300 or something. It's lasted me about 2 years, and I think it cost me about £20 a month. You see, and I bet that's a lot cheaper than yours.
That's a lot cheaper.
I'll
look into that. That would be very interesting to see. I'm already thinking. I'm like counting in my head. I started to count. I thought I'm going to give her 5 more seconds on this, and then I'm really
before
sorry. Really sorry, and there'll be people listening right now going, fucking hell, I really look forward to Old and Wide.
So far we've had radiators and
mobile
bloody
phones. When are we going to get some juicy stuff?
Yeah.
Just on the radiator thing, right, the first radiator that pops...
You said radio again, that's the second time you've said radio. Radiator,
it's really worrying,
isn't
it? It is really worrying.
It is a bit.
The first radiator that springs to mind when you say portable...
Yeah.
Once upon a time, when I was about 9, my parents had, it was red, it was a red radiator, 2 grey bars that used to collect fluff, and then you plugged it in and they shone red.
Oh,
electric bar, like that.
And
they burnt off the fluff, and they used to...
Yeah.
They used to have a smell when they were burning off the fluff.
Absolutely, really musty smell. And I think the one that we had sort of artificial coal effect thing on the front.
That was the other one that springs to mind. I said there were 3. There was just the simple, just 2 bars across. Once, when I was 9, right, and I don't know why I ever did this. I don't know whether I've ever told you this before. I'm not reckless very often, but when I decide to be reckless, I can do some very stupid things. And I got the poker. We had a proper coal fire as well. And I just thought, I wonder what would happen if I touched that electric bar with this poker. So I did.
Shit. And what happened?
I ended up on the other side of the room, didn't I?
Oh, bloody
hell. It sort of shot me across. Anyway, that was an excitement. So don't do that, kids. And then the last radiator that springs to mind occasionally turn up in dressing rooms and they're on wheels and they're sort of solid. Do you know what I mean? They're stand-up radiators on wheels.
Yes. Look kind of quilted. Look a bit quilted, sort of thing. Yes.
So which of those 3 does your one in your Wendy house?
It's the boring quilted wheel along dressing room type.
Quite effective because I have been very cold in dressing rooms and on the verge of tears. And once one of those has been brought through, I've changed my tune.
You could even put it on a timer, you see. I haven't finished yet. You could even put it on a timer. I can't do timers. I know what you mean.
We've really got to get rid of this fucking government because it's making us all boring. This is what I can't forgive them for.
That's much more serious than anything else, isn't
absolutely.
It?
Absolutely.
Yeah, I know.
Yeah.
By the way,
what a tedious country we've come because we're just worried, we're upset, and all we can talk about is our heating bills and that sort of thing. Anyway, go on. What? Have I thought about what? You're about to ask me something.
I forgot what I was going to say now. Oh, no, shit. I know. Did you hear the figure of... someone put a figure on the financial damage of Liz Truss's growth budget. And it was something like £13 billion. There's actually a figure. I mean, how is she still taking £100,000 as an ex-prime minister?
She should pay it back herself. She should be... honestly, they should make her do a paper round and very slowly chip away at it.
Exactly. She'd be making some flapjack for charity at the very fucking least.
So I've officially, Judith, finished my last stand-up gig of this year.
Gosh.
And I managed to leave my mirror ball in the tour manager's car. It's in a huge box. How can you leave something that big behind? It's not like a scarf or anything. Huge, great mirror ball. And anyway, I did this gig and I really enjoyed myself. And I went
back to
the dressing room and I just got back into my civvies and I thought, I've got some friends in. Yeah. I'll meet people in the bar. And they'd shut the bar, Judith. They'd shut the bar.
Oh, no. Oh, no.
I know.
Well, they must have done that pretty sharpish. They're probably waiting for you to nip out. Quick, close it.
Shut us down the whole bloody works. I was absolutely gutted, but you can't. When you go into a bar and it's closed up, you can't actually, in front of, because there were still a few people floating around, you can't actually sort of burst into tears and have hysterics, because then everyone guesses, don't they? Go, God, she's got a bit of an alcohol problem. That's what happens when she's denied. But I really felt a bit on the verge.
Yeah, well, I bet you did. I bet you. Yeah, but you see, it's interesting because I never really asked you this, but when you finish a show, obviously I've seen you loads after a show and I'm quite used to seeing people when they come off stage and so on. But I'm always a little bit tongue-tied. I can never quite read the room because sometimes I feel, that you or somebody else is very up for sort of, yay, I really want to, not party exactly, but yeah, I really want to talk and I want a few glasses of wine and don't go home yet. And then sometimes it's sort of, look, you're really boring me now and I'm bloody knackered and I just need to get back to the hotel. It's quite hard to read. So how are you after the shows?
I'm both and all of those things, Judith. I mean, the thing is, the temptation is to go, yay, let's talk about me and my show for ages and ages and drink loads of wine. But the actual reality of it all is you've got to do it all over again tomorrow most of the time. So you just have to go, no, I'm back in very dull mode now. I'm allowed two glasses of wine and then it's bedtime. And I can't talk too much because my voice and blah, 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 blah. It's just the kind of the discipline of it, isn't it? It's the grind of everything. Both you and I are sloggers, Judith. That's the thing. All through our career, throughout our careers, I just realised this the other day. I have no natural talent at anything whatsoever. I have to prep, and fucking prep. I can't just wing it.
Come on.
No. Most of the time, apart from this course, we don't get paid for this. But I've been busy this week. I have been career-wise this week. I've been very busy. I've gigged. I've been unfaithful. I'm really sorry, Judith, to tell you. I've done someone else's podcast. Yeah,
you haven't.
Yeah,
who's?
I did Mark Steele's. You know Mark Steele from Radio 4. About town. He does those different.
Different
times. Oh, yes. We've been mates for very many years, and we had a good chat. And what else? I was on the telly last night.
I know. I saw.
Did you see my orange trainers?
Is it called the Good Read?
No, it isn't. You've just made that up, Judith.
The Long Read. The Reading Corner.
No, it's got, no, absolutely not.
Oh, between the covers. Between the covers.
Suddenly turned into a terrible parlour game then, didn't it? Between the covers.
It's a good format, that. It's just, simple. Four people, interesting people, talking about their favourite books and
Well, I didn't know it was favourite books. I was just told to pick, talk about a book. I didn't know. I got a bit confused. I don't think I really read the brief.
You didn't
properly.
Read that email properly, did you?
No, I didn't. But
didn't
I just
matter. Didn't matter.
I bought in a book that was my favourite of... One of my favourites of this year, which is the Jeanette McCurdle, I'm Glad My Mom Died, which is quite a brutal title, but it's a great book and I still recommend it heartily. Now, Jeanette McCurdle, this is quite funny, really, is an ex-child star. She was in sort of lots of those American teen sitcom-y things. And anyway, somebody obviously... alerted her to the fact that I had been talking about her book on this programme on the BBC. So Jeanette McCurdle on her Twitter last night, get this, she has 5.5 million followers.
Wow.
I know, 5.5 million followers. So she puts up a picture of me on her Twitter feed holding her book and writes, who is this magical person? Right, bearing in mind that she has 5.5 million followers, guess how many people knew who I was on her Twitter timeline? Guess how many people answered who I 50? Was?
50? 50? 100?
No. 19 people said who I was. It's Jenny Eclair. I mean, it's a terrible photo of me. It was one of those TV shows I did the day after I'd had my hair cut. And sometimes when I have my hair cut, it's a little bit brutal. It's just a little bit too short. And it was at that stage where I haven't got much hair and the bottom of my face looks much heavier than the top of my head. And so every... I've now this terrible picture of me grinning ridiculously on Jeanette McCurdle's timeline has gone out to 5.5 million people. 19 knew who I was, and the rest must be thinking, she's got a tiny, she's like an egg. That woman's got a head like an egg.
Well, I think you're exaggerating, but yes, your hair is a bit short. Not spiky. It wasn't as spiky as it normally is.
No, because there's no. It was cut very close to my head.
Yeah.
I had no hair.
Yeah.
But now and again, I have to do that because my hair's quite weak and it has to be sort of cut right back to the bone to give it some body again. Anyway,
and then it
goes
all boofy. I wanted to know about Sophie Rayworth. Yes, who was on it with you.
She's very clever, very clever. She was wearing a nice pink corduroy dress, needle cord dress. I like that, yes.
Yes. And because she's kind of, if I had been at school with her, I'd have been quite scared of her, wouldn't you?
I wouldn't have been scared of her. I would not have been in her gang.
Well, obviously not. Obviously not. I think I'd be on the edges. I'd like to think I'd have been on the edges. You know, not quite let in.
At my school in my year, there weren't many girls like Sophie Rayworth, you know, really equipped. I don't think anyone in my year went to Oxbridge.
Oh, well, no, nor me. The school wasn't good enough. No, grammar school, but not good enough at all. Nobody thought about getting us to apply for Oxbridge.
My sister thought about it, but school didn't do much about it. My sister should have gone. But at that point, I just thought anyone that went to university was a boring swat, which is just ridiculous.
Oh, no,
All I wanted was to get to drama school as quickly as possible.
I wouldn't have got you at all at school. I really wouldn't have got you.
Yeah, but we wouldn't have been in the same year, Judy. Years before I was in the fifth form.
Yes, all right, not that many years. No, but Sophie Rayworth, she would always have been head girl, wouldn't she? She would have been head girl. She would have been
She'd have been a good tennis player, a good hockey player,
a good team player.
She would.
Queen's
absolutely.
Guide, everything. No,
yeah, yeah. She ticks all. And she's really beautiful as well. She's a really fine-looking woman. God. In fact, I'm really blotted my copybook on that show because sort of out of the blue. Well, not quite out of the blue. Just before we went on air, someone came into the dressing room that I was sharing with Al Murray because we hadn't seen each other for so long.
How can you share a dressing room with somebody of the opposite sex? You might want to get
changed.
Well,
I checked him out. Well, he came into my dressing room for a chat and I told him to stay. And then I said, turn you back. Or he left the room. Probably left the room, fled. but we hadn't seen each other for ages. And I adore Al Murray. And we had so much gossip to catch up on. Anyway, I wasn't really concentrating. And someone knocked on the door and said, listen, at the top of the show, do you mind doing Bracey of the Long Song? I went, yeah, fine. And I made such a pig's ear of it when we went into the record because I was so busy talking to Al. I forgot to mug up. I'd read the book and it's a vitally important book to read. The Long Song by Andrew Levy. I think it's a brilliant, brilliant piece of work and it should be on every school curriculum. And I think I said that on the show.
You did.
Okay. Well, I didn't see the show because I was doing something else, which I'll move on to later. Yeah. But so I made this very messy stab at doing a précis of the book. And there was at the end of the show, they just went, we're just going to redo the top of the show again. Sophie, would you do a précis of Andrea Levy's The Long Song? And from the top of her head, she did this beautiful... monologue about what it was really about.
Yeah.
Instead of me going, it's really great, you've got to read it. It's just this fantastic thing, right, about this. It's a slave woman, and it's everyone's a slave. It's just like, we're all slaves. And anyway, what happens, and it's a long time ago, but it was when, oh, God.
Yeah, she's just very competent, isn't she? She's really, yeah. Very able. Very, very able. I want to know what her handbag was like, because, you know, I'm a bit into handbags.
I didn't see her handbag. I can't remember her handbag. I don't think she brought it onto the floor. I can't remember. I did like her dress. I do like needle cord. I think it's a very good in-between season fabric, the needle cord. It's very good for the autumn.
Interesting. I like Sarah Cox's blue velvet dress that she was wearing on that.
She's a lovely girl. She's a lovely, lovely woman. She's always been a nice girl. She's turning into a very, very lovely woman. Really.
Isn't she?
And she adores it. I mean, she really does do her homework as well. She's not one of those presenters of shows, and I could mention a couple of names. I'm very tempted to mention one in particular who doesn't even say hello to, you know, the people who are on the show.
Really?
She's not like that. She's read everything, and she's done all her homework, and she's properly passionate about books. And even though I'm really jealous of her, because I'd love to do that show, she does deserve to have it. So anyway, there we go. That was good fun, but I didn't see it because I was doing the Bake Off event last night.
Oh, of course you were. The Zoom thing. The Zoom with the finalists.
Yeah. I mean, it's not great doing a big event on Zoom, can I just say? Because one of the finalists, and it was lovely, it was a really nice event, but Sandro, some of the time I just couldn't hear him because his Zoom connection just wasn't that strong.
Oh, God, that's difficult.
Sometimes you're just thinking, I'm guessing what you're saying here. But we got there. We got there in the end. I've got a free book out of it, Judith. I'll probably give it to you.
What's the free book? What is
it? It's the new Great British Bake Off Favourite Flavours.
Oh,
book
no,
that's
thanks.
Just come out.
Nah,
you don't want it.
Don't want that. Don't want it. Don't want it.
Well,
sorry.
I'm really sorry, but that's your Christmas present.
Has it been allocated? Have you wrapped it up?
Allocated.
No, you have not.
But anyway, we had a lovely time. And thank you if anybody listening joined in that last night, because, you know, they sent in lots of lovely questions and all that sort of thing. So it'll be interesting to see then. Maybe I'll keep the book, Judith, and see if I actually could do anything any of the recipes that are in there, because all of them look quite hard to me.
I bet they are hard. Yeah. I mean, the thing is, I bet you haven't even got an electric mixer, have you?
No, I haven't got an electric. I haven't got a blender. I haven't got an electric mixer.
There's no way you'll be able to make any cakes without a bloody electric mixer.
Well, there's some biscuit recipes in this.
Well,
I think
for babies.
There's a baby section.
Ones.
Yeah. I've got to learn, because I'm going to have to teach Arlo, aren't I,
how to bake.
Because his mother can't, I can tell you that.
Absolutely. And I tell you what.
Do your girls bake? Do either of your girls bake?
Yes, they do. They do. Mm. Sienna went through a terrible phase when she was in her late teens, making bright blue and bright pink and bright yellow cakes. I don't know what. I mean, literally, she would do it. Somebody's birthday, she would really want to make them a cake. They were just awful things.
It's a form of... it's a weird form of anxiety that girls go through at that age, where they either knit or crochet or go mental at baking. And it's a way of keeping calm. It's really good for them,
Well, we haven't grown out of that, have we? I mean, we're still in that, you know.
We all have to do those things now and again that keep us calm. It's just baking isn't mine. I get very little pleasure from cooking anything. Occasionally, I'll get a kind of urge, and it'll be usually soup or a curry or a shepherd's pie. And then that urge will be spent.
Satiated.
For, could be 6 weeks.
What's your signature soup at the moment?
Because I haven't done one this year.
Oh, forgot you have. Don't
I
think
haven't.
You have.
Don't
oh,
think
for
I have.
Fuck's sake. I thought you were good at soups.
My mother was
really
good
at soups.
I sort of did it last year. That do you know when I say I'm satiated? I made soup last year. I'm not that fussed if I make it this year. I'm just not that fussed. The only thing I get pleasure out of making is an open sandwich.
Well, that's not really cooking, Jenny, is it? It's like cutting and sticking cooking, that is.
I might have had to boil an egg.
I know what you like for boiled eggs. You like a boiled egg. I can't think the last time I boiled an egg. I wouldn't be fussed about a boiled egg.
I had one this morning.
Did you? Yes, I did.
For my breakfast, I had a large piece of very good sourdough bread. Which I slathered with my low-fat cream cheese. Oh, and then I cut an egg up on that.
Runny or hard?
Oh, no, hard-boiled. Oh. I boiled it yesterday. I always do two in a pan because, you know, economic crisis, etc., etc. Never boil one egg when you can put two... I tell you, some people will be clapping.
I'm getting my own back, Jenny and Claire.
Some people will be clapping at that. They'll be thinking she's taking this crisis seriously. She's double egg boiling.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
When you're ready to pop the question, the last thing you want to do is second guess the ring. At BlueNile.com, you can design a one-of-a-kind ring with the ease and convenience of shopping online. Choose your diamond and setting. When you find the one, you'll get it delivered right to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off your purchase. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
So anyway, last weekend, you told me that you were on an overnighter, doing an overnighter. How did that go?
Big weekend last weekend. Absolutely. They went away for the first time overnight without the boys. It was me and Mike, and Ellen was around a bit, so it was kind of a three-man operation, which we thought was, you know, was good. We weren't overstaffed. We were definitely not overstaffed. I thought they were just going for an overnighter, but when I checked in with her, she said, now, we'd quite like to leave about midday. Oh, God. So it was midday, get this, on the Friday until 4 o'clock on the Saturday. That was, I mean, come on, that's quite a long stint, isn't it? That's quite
a long stint. Yeah, it's over 24 hours, yes.
Indeed. Yeah. I was clock watching at the end. So so did you see the kind of schedule that she'd done, which I photographed?
Yeah, so you put that on the Instagram. And did you stick to it?
Well, we did, actually. I know quite a lot of the gang. It was sort of, don't be ridiculous. Well, I think you should tell her where to stick her schedule. She's a lucky woman that you're doing it at all. But no.
Schedules, and if they are in a schedule, sticking to the schedule actually helps you.
Yeah, yeah. Well, it did. It really did. Not only that, she did say, I said, well, you know, okay, well, if that doesn't happen. She said, well, the trouble is, if you get half an hour behind, you know, it'll put us all out for the night the next day. She was quite stern with us, quite stern about the schedule. And it was two pages of A4, you know, mucking about.
How much were you getting paid an hour? Were you 15 quid an hour?
I was raiding some of their food cupboards, I must say. Yeah. We stuck to the schedule. But do you know they have three naps in the day for about 15 to 20 minutes? And, you know, they take quite a long time to get off to sleep. And you think, well, really? Are they actually tired? But they do eventually go off. So, no, we kept to that. No, we were very good. Get this. They only slept through the night for the first time on our watch.
Did you use chloroform? Did you use chloroform?
Actually, to tell you the truth, I think what happened is that Ellen did the late feed at night. Yeah. I was going to do the early morning shift from about 5:30, you know, be on standby.
Yeah, because you're awake anyway. Because you
I'm
don't
awake
sleep.
Anyway. I'm awake anyway. So yeah, it's not too bad. Although I do like to have a cup of tea before I'm on duty. Anyway, I digress. And Mike was doing the main bit of the night because actually I really didn't want to do that. And we were all in separate bedrooms and Mike had the monitor. And so about 5:30 I was going in thinking, well, they must be awake now, surely. Nothing, not a peep out of them until 7 o'clock.
Having a lie in.
But do you know what? I reckon it was. I think it was that Mike sleeps so soundly that he obviously didn't hear the monitor. I'm sure he didn't hear it.
Maybe that's the trick with babies and night times. Just not listening to them.
I think
just
so.
Not being able to hear. Or ignoring them.
Or ignoring them. I mean, they've got this really sensitive, I'm sure that females do. They've got, obviously, the two cameras on both babies, and they always have them the same way round.
It's a baby cam thing. So it's not just... Because in the old days, we just had that, like a phone receiver, like a Fisher-Price toy thing, wasn't it? Like a telephone. And you had to be really careful because, people would put them on in parties and people would go into the baby's rooms for a snog and that kind of thing. And suddenly you'd hear people fornicating on your baby monitor.
Well, I never heard that, but
Yeah, I've just made that up a bit to make it sound like I had really exciting parties. It's an absolute myth. There we go. Judith. Well done, me.
But my God, I've never seen so much washing in a house. I remember my mother saying this when she used to come round to our house. When the kids were small, I think there were three loads. She probably has about three loads a day of washing. Then I'd come across another bloody laundry basket full of sheets and another one full of towels. Oh my God.
I think they're a bit fussy about bed linen because I always find that at Phoebe's as well. She's always washing the sheets. And I was thinking, oh, I bet once a month will do me. Anyway, there we go. I've got quite agoraphobic, to be quite honest with you, Judith. I don't think I've been out of the house for 3 days.
Well, what do you mean you haven't been out of the house for 3 days? You mean when you're not working, you kind of cosy on in? You cosy in?
Yeah. I've been. I went out on Monday night to gig. What is it? We're recording this on Wednesday. I haven't left the house since I got back from that gig.
Gosh, haven't you really? Oh, that would drive me mad. You've been out for some fresh air. Have you not been out for air?
No.
Tut, tut.
I haven't even stuck my head out of the window or anything, no.
Oh, you must be very pasty, Jenny. Very pasty. You're a different gene pool. Actually,
I just feel a bit overwhelmed by everything. I feel like... I've got so much I've got to sort out. I've got this fungal rash under my arm that needs properly looking at. I need new glasses. I need another session of Lipiflow. I don't know, Judith. I'm falling to pieces.
Well, don't you sometimes feel it would be great if there was a sort of one-stop place that you could just go and there'd be a dentist, there'd be a chiropodist, there'd be a chiropractor, there'd be, a GP, a nice friendly GP. That's right, you go. Do you know, I was thinking about this and such places, I have to tell you, do exist in Switzerland.
Yes, they do. Yes, there was that Monica and Giles, the when they go to the posh
hotels. Absolutely. Yes. And I stayed in one once. I went through a phase of doing travel writing. It was quite a good gig. And we stayed in this really, really swanky hotel in St. Moritz. And there was a wing. There was a kind of amazing spa, with kind of Alps sort of in the background. And then there was this sort of section where people would go in and because they were advertising it in the rooms. And literally, God knows how much it costs, but you would, they do all the kind of cosmetic procedure and, all the kind of fancy sort of heart monitoring. I mean, it'd be a joy for you and I.
I think we need two weeks, Judith. Forget your overnighter. I think we'd be in there for a fortnight.
Oh, we'd keep them busy, wouldn't we? We would keep them busy. We'd come out with a great long list of new things to worry about and conditions.
Well, I want them to solve everything. I want to be there and I want them to solve everything. I want to come back and feel like new. That's how I feel at the moment.
We might.
Anyway, there we go. Are you still swimming in the lake?
No, I did. Well, I went this week, and do you know what? It's absolutely the last one of the season for me. It was bloody painful. The lake is so much colder than the sea. But no, that's it. No, closed up for the season now. Put my stuff away. I came out of the water looking like a lobster. I mean, genuinely looking like a lobster, and with the kind of burn. God, it bloody hurt. No, I'm not doing it again.
How long did it take for you to warm up and feel
normal? Until about lunchtime. I mean, ages.
It's too much.
It took a fry-up breakfast, a hot bath, toasted tea cake in the morning.
A full day of recovery. Jesus, God,
woolly
honestly.
Hat in the house.
Life's hard, isn't it? Life's hard.
Mind you, do you know what? Even I am getting a bit bored with all the articles and books about cold water swimming. I mean, there's another one out, one out by a woman in that lives in the lakes, who's all about, you know, she's been cold water swimming all around the world, another red bloody great bestseller. Yeah. I mean,
I know why you
much.
Don't like it. You don't like it because you're just thinking, oh, bloody hell, I might have missed the boat on this one. I should have got my pitch in 2 years ago.
Absolutely. I wish I'd done that.
Yeah.
But there you go. Somebody else has done it. But
the only thing that wild swimmers don't like is other wild swimmers, because they just want to be the only wild swimmer. I've got that line in my stand-up. I don't know why they call it wild swimming. They just call it voluntary hypothermia for the middle classes. I stand by that. Now then, now you said in a note to me that you'd had your first panic attack for years.
Jenny. Yeah, I used to suffer with panic attacks really badly in my 20s and 30s. And I still get them on planes if it starts to bump around. But I'm not, you know, I've kind of got strategies, you know, I've been to see people about it and all of that CBT and blowing into a brown bag and all of that and the emergency
Valium,
all that stuff. I've got the strategies. But it's been absolutely years since I've had one kind of in normal everyday life. But I went into a car wash in Kidlington at the weekend, and it's one of those car washes which is, you know, those kind of like American ones that where you get onto this kind of conveyor belt and it takes you through the brushes, and there's a car in front and there's a car behind and it's all a bit tense. It's like going on a fairground ride. Do you know what I mean? You know that moment when you're on a fairground ride and somebody says, you know, make sure that's done up or something. You think, what? Show me again. It's a bit like that. So I got to the bit where they sort of wave you goodbye into this kind of tunnel. And I thought, shit, okay, I know it's got to be in neutral, but do I turn the engine off or do I leave it on? And so I kind of just quickly said, what, an engine on or off? And all he did is he pointed to N for neutral. So I didn't know, right? And I turned it off. And I was then aware of kind of, you know, it was like the car was sort of mounting. He was slightly rising
up. This is nightmarish.
Yes. Slightly. Well, some of this is in my head, you know. But slightly mounting up. And obviously the brushes were going on the windscreen. I couldn't see how far the one in front was. And then the car sort of went into this emergency kind of message mode saying, brake lock on, or something or other. At which point I just thought, shit, I'm going to be crushed alive. So I absolutely jabbed on my horn. Full-blown panic attack. And they were brilliant, you know, they stopped it. And this lovely bloke came and sort of, you know, rescued me. I was shaking. I mean, God, sorry, gang.
Judith, but
I mean,
you've got form on this. Yeah. You've had another panic. The last time you had a panic attack, I think it was in a car wash.
It's happened before, but not as bad as... It wasn't one of the conveyor belt things.
You don't like it. It's for you, it's triggering.
It is, actually. That's a good word, isn't it? I think it is.
It's controlled.
Well, it is.
Because suddenly... electric cars, once things, lights start coming on your dashboard, and I haven't got an electric car, but even if a strange light comes on my dashboard, and you just think, what's that? What does it mean?
I know, and when you're in the middle of a car wash. But they were absolutely delightful, and so they stopped it all, and I'm in a sobbing mess, and the supervisor said, are you all right? Do you want to sit down? Somebody got in the car for me and took it through. They said, next time you come, don't worry. You know, just let us know. One of us will get in and everything. And sit with me. Yes, you're okay.
Sit in the passenger seat and hold your hand.
Oh, God.
That's kinder than that. It's nice to know that they were kind. Nice.
But I think life is settling down to an extent, and, you know, I'm still in bits at times about Poppy, but it is sort of getting easier.
I think those incidents show quite how thin your skin is still.
Very much
because so. Because I think when you're totally in control of your life and everything's going quite smoothly, you can cope.
I take it in a stride. I know.
You're still suffering, and there's little things like that just become enormous, don't they?
That's exactly right. Yes. Yeah. But there was. So yes, I made a bit of a fool myself, but there you go.
That's okay. You know, you don't have to go back, but if you do, there'll be someone sitting in the passenger seat holding your hand. That's fine. Now then, Culture Corner. It is time now, Judith.
Yes. What have you been watching on the telly?
Jeff and I have finished the latest season of Making the Cut on Amazon Prime, and thoroughly recommend it because the standard of work is superb.
Is it British or American? British or American?
Yeah. Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. But there was a British girl in it in this season who did very well indeed.
Good.
Obviously didn't win. They're not going to give £1 million to a British designer, are they?
They might do. Well,
nah, yeah, of course they're not.
Good. Yeah. I might give that a look, actually, because I'm floundering around a bit. I tell you what I've been watching. I've been watching Stanley Tucci on Italy. You know, he's obviously Italian. Both sides, apparently. And he's been doing this travelogue, which sounds like, oh, God, another one, kind of looking at food. But it's rather good. It's quite classy. And so he's going around Italy talking to, well, kind of talking to people about the places, but experiencing the food. It's lovely.
Okay.
I think it doesn't seem
like it's breaking any sort of boundaries.
But it's just lovely. I think I like him. And I think...
Okay. So enjoy spending time with him.
I do. He looks great. He wears a pair of sort of white chinos. Very well turned out. Very well groomed.
Yeah.
And got a nice pair of shoes on. Do you know what? I think I'm spending a lot of time looking at Stanley Tucci.
Yeah. And he's a bit tidy for me. Yeah. A little bit tidy. Yeah.
You don't go for the tidies. It's a bit short.
Really.
I mean, I think that would be awkward. But, you know, get over it.
Okay. Well, we're still on The Crown. Have you finished The Crown?
I finished The Crown. I was so sad when that finished. I loved it. I know it has its shortcomings, but the humour in some of the episodes. Have you seen the one where it's the Queen's birthday and all the family are giving her presents?
No, I haven't seen that one yet. We're rationing now. We are rationing.
Oh,
on the... It's sort of... I think it's actually quite clever. I mean, it's always been clever. Although, as we all admit, there are flaws in it, and sometimes it's a very queasy mix of soap and real life documentary. But it is quite shocking remembering all the stuff that went on, and seeing it on the screen again. You know, the toe curling embarrassment of Tampon Gate, and when Princess Diana did the interview with Bashir that we now know she was terribly coerced into.
Absolutely.
And the horror of Camilla and Charles watching it, and this... It is well done. The actors in it are great. I mean, you know, Imelda Staunton is just... Even seeing her with corgis, you just believe her.
Yes, the corgis are featured beautifully, don't they?
Yeah.
But also there's, you know, William comes round from Eton to have tea with his grandma a lot and is always having to tune the telly because she can't get...
Yeah, he's helping her with a remote control.
All of that just rings so true.
Yeah.
But honestly, you'll love the scene where they all give presents and Charles gives her something so sort of boring and kind of self-important and then Andrew gives her this... sort of ridiculous kind of naff gadget, which she adores. And, you know, because Andrew is...
Always her favourite. Exactly. I know. Oh, dear. Poor
marvellous.
The Queen.
It's marvellous.
Are you watching anything else?
There's a series called Rogue Heroes, which has been dramatised, created by the guy that is behind Peaky Blinders, Stephen Knight. And it's the Ben McIntyre book about the formation of the SAS in the World War II in Egypt, and it's very, very classy and very good, I have to say. My dad was in Egypt at the time.
Yeah, I think my dad wasn't. When was it? World War II?
It was World War II, but it was quite late on, I think, in World War II. And
I think I've got to give that one another go. Right, so you've got all those photos of your dad in Egypt, have you?
Yeah, I have, and I remember him talking about Cairo particularly. So that for me is quite magical, really. God, I wish I'd asked him about what he did in Egypt. I just didn't, you know, wasn't interested. But that's rather good. Rogue Heroes.
My dad spent 2 years living on a camel.
What do you mean?
He lived on a camel. He lived on a camel.
Did he really?
Yeah, yeah. And was in tents in the desert in Arabia. He was a Trucial Omen scout. You can look them up. They're a peacekeeping mission after the war. Yeah. He was a brave lad, wasn't he, your dad? He was incredibly gung-ho. You know, he did all that. He did miniature submarines and he did camels. But then when he came out of the army, he didn't want to do anything. It was like me and making soup. It was like he was satiated and he didn't even want to go on holiday. He was just happy to play golf and sit in a chair. It was very odd.
I do get that.
Do you?
Yeah, I do. Yeah, no, I understand that. Gung-ho, that's a good phrase, isn't it? It's one that will never be applied to us, I fear.
I don't know, Judith. I think both of us are. I think people listening will be going, oh, but hold on. You are both very gung-ho. Both of us have a big streak of gung-ho in us. You marching off into the sea or into that bloody lake, that is very gung-ho.
That's true. Yes,
yeah, you're gung-ho with the twins. You tackle stuff. You're gung-ho in the kitchen.
So do you, actually. So do you.
When I did I'm a Celebrity, I very much channeled my dad, and I was able to find the gung-ho side of me.
Yeah, you did.
Because it does exist.
Yeah, that's interesting. I think that's good for us. I think it is good for us as we get older. And I know we are, in many ways, you know,
sniveling, neurotic, kind of, we are both those. But, we are those things entirely. But we also, when the shit hits the fan, or the going gets tough.
Yeah,
the two of us can put our shoulders back and
yes. Well, that was a good pep talk, wasn't it, for us? Very good.
For everybody. Okay. Right. Put your shoulders back. Oops. I am really enjoying, and I think for anybody suffering from anxiety at the moment, it's a very soothing book to listen to. It's the new Jonathan Coe. It's called Bourneville. And I've read a couple of mixed reviews about this. Some of the broadsheets have loved it and some have been a little bit picky over it, but I'm finding it incredibly comforting. It's basically 75 years of British history distilled through the lives of a family from Birmingham who start off living on the Cadbury's Bourneville estate in the Midlands. You know those sort of weird estates that Victorian entrepreneurs built for the factory workers?
Gosh, but basically they looked after the workers, didn't they?
Yeah.
They really looked after them. It's fictionalised, obviously.
Yes, it's fictionalised, but based
on what happened.
The book is split up into occasions. So occasion 6, the funeral of Diana, Princess of Wales. Occasion 7, the 75th anniversary of VE Day. And so it's there are occasions when families meet up and neighbours come in.
Lovely.
Yeah. It's... I think it's a really authentic book. I love family sagas, and I think a lot of our listeners would find this an ideal bedtime story on Audible.
Mm, sounds good. I'm still ploughing through Behind the Scenes at the Museum by Kate Atkinson, which I'm enjoying, but, you know, it's a bit low on plot. I realise that, it's wonderful kind of scenes, but I'm not sure there's enough plot in it, really, for me. So
it's a very early book of hers. And I think, you know, has gone on to... Yeah, I think it's one of her first books, if not the first book she wrote.
Okay.
And I think, as with all most writers, hopefully, you get stronger and stronger. So I think it was a book that showed enormous promise, and she has written bigger, better things since.
Okay. I don't know whether I'll finish it, to be perfectly honest.
Oh, Judith, you must.
Yes,
No, you don't have to. You don't have to. That's right. That's a very gung-ho attitude then. I don't have to.
Quite.
Yeah. Right, Judith. Both of us busy women today, so we'll get on to our emails now. Got one from Camilla. Not the Queen. For a moment, we thought, didn't we?
We did. I hope the Queen consort might have been a fan.
And Camilla says... having been with you through the Vajsan years, the coleslaw debate, and well on into COVID and lockdown... I think it's time I thanked you for the pleasure Older and Wider has given me. We thank you for thanking us. As I simultaneously have started my own podcast... Oh, bloody hell, they're all doing it, Judith.
It's all over the place, isn't it?
Oh, God, we're going to have competition. I was also taking notes. So, right, she's listening to our podcast, taking notes, so she knows what to do for her own.
Going off her now.
These are her notes. When would Jenny realise that she didn't like interviewing others and really just wanted to chat to Judith? How long would it be before the two J's fully embraced remote? And what would you do without Daisy? There wouldn't be no us without Daisy.
Definitely not.
And would Judith ever get word in? Well, I don't think that's entirely fair.
Because sometimes there
are some shows when you just don't shut your gob.
Absolutely.
Just,
I know.
It's just... Anyway, she says, thank you and best wishes to you both. Long may you chunter, chunter and comfort each other and us with warmth and the medicine that is laughter. Thank you. That's a really beautifully written... email, but she does also go on to say, and this is quite interesting, happy to hear about parents, dogs, children and grandchildren, hypochondria, but more tales from the world of work and career, please, too. That's interesting. I think people do want to know, you know, how our jobs tick, maybe. So yeah, if anybody possibly. Has any questions...
Yeah, you should send us some... Yeah, send us some ideas. I mean, I suppose the world of work has really changed massively, hasn't it? And we've seen it change. But yeah, no, I think Camilla, not the Queen, I think that's an interesting idea. So gang, yeah. Send us some questions.
I know occasionally we have banged on a bit about our families and all that sort of thing, but we are more than that.
Indeed.
As everybody is. So we will make sure... We do take... I mean, sometimes we take total umbrage when people send us emails telling us what we're doing wrong, but... you know, if you do it nicely, we will listen. This podcast is not just our podcast. It is your podcast too.
Get you with your broadcasting hat on, Jenny Eclair. I tell you, the only other thing we should do is say to the gang that we haven't forgotten about the crafting weekend. We've had loads of suggestions, actually, for where to put it and all sorts. But it's quite complicated. So we are sort of on the case. We're mulling
and we're having meetings with the people.
Yes, we are, with the grown-ups. We've got a meeting with the grown-ups later on, so watch this space.
In fact, we've got a meeting with the grown-ups, a Zoom meeting with the grown-ups in 20 minutes.
I know, I'm going to have to put some lipstick on. Might have to put some lipstick on and have...
God, it's a Zoom, isn't it? Oh, yeah, well, I'm going to nip down and get a cup of coffee.
Yeah, I know.
So we will love you and leave you, and we'll be back next week.
Okay, email address, olderwiderpod@gmail.com.
That's the emails, and you will find us on Instagram at Older and Wider.
Very good. Okay, right. I'm going to go put some lipstick on and go to the loo. Nice to talk to you.
I'm going to get some clothes on. See you soon. Bye-bye. Yeah. Bye-bye.
Bye.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.